I want to start off by asking a question. How many jazz trumpet players can you name from the top of your head right now? Now let me ask you another question. How many of those names were women? See, despite the significant contributions of female jazz musicians throughout history, women have often been overlooked, marginalized, and even silenced in the male-dominated industry of jazz. Hey everyone, I'm your host, Violet Mukika, and this is Women of the World. From Lil Hardin Armstrong to Alice Coltrane to Jerry Allen and countless others, women have played a crucial part in the history of jazz. On today's episode, we're going to delve into the stories of trailblazing female jazz musicians who are not just talented jazz women, but talented jazz musicians in general. We're going to hear stories from two talented musicians, Bria Skonberg and Kaylee O'Doherty. And we're going to learn a bit more about who they are and how music shapes them as people. In my conversation with Bria Skonberg, who's an excellent trumpet player, as well as an educator on Louis Armstrong, we spoke a bit about Lil Hardin's influence.
Yes, Lil Hardin was the secret weapon that made Louis Armstrong. You know, she was the one who plucked him out of King Oliver's band and said, you know what, you be at the front, you be the star. And I know that she and Louis composed many things together. Eventually he gave her credit, or she gave him credit for different things. So I think the amount of ways that she has inspired me, I don't even know all of them necessarily. It's because she inspired him and he inspired me. But definitely, you know, seeing a woman in the all male band of the Hot Fives, I think, you know, just the representation there matters. And she was instrumental in employing lots of female artists in the many decades after being married to Louis. So I did a course last year for Jazz at Lincoln Center focusing on the different female trumpet players throughout the last 100 years. And it's funny that Lil Hardin was one of the through lines through the many decades, especially where less people were performing. So she hired Valeda Snow, she hired Dolly Jones, she hired some of the big band artists along the way just to keep things moving. So I think that Lil Hardin, yeah, definitely musically, I mean, all the stuff that she plays in the Hot Fives, it's just the rhythm, the harmony that she pulled into it, and then eventually how she advocated for women simply by doing it and organizing bands during those eras has had a lot of impact.
I actually recently learned of her on WBGO on a segment of her and how she was super influential in Louis Armstrong's life and his career. So she's absolutely definitely amazing. So check her out if you haven't. So let's get to know Bria a little more. Bria Skonberg is a talented trumpet player, singer, composer, educator, and all-around musician based in New York City. She's won the Jazz at Lincoln Center Swing Award, Best Vocal and Best Trumpet from Hot House Jazz Magazine, and Outstanding Jazz Artist at the Bistro Awards. Her record, titled Bria, won a Juno Award and was top 5 on Billboard Jazz Charts. She's traveled all around the world connecting with people through this great art form. As a trumpet player myself, I can confidently say she's been a huge inspiration to me and so many musicians at all different levels. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Hello, Violet. And hello, everybody listening.
Great. So who was the first female musician that you were really inspired by?
Wow. So where I grew up, there weren't that many female professional musicians. And the first one I can remember seeing that played trumpet was on YouTube. And that was Gunhild Karling. Who is a Swedish jazz star, if you read her bio, playing trumpet, trombone, and many other things. She now lives in San Francisco. But back when I was 15, 16 years old, the person who mentored me at that time, his name was Simon Stribling. And he thought, you know what, you're really into playing this old jazz stuff. You should check out this woman. And she's just a generation or less older than me. But to see her swing and play such strong trumpet was very inspiring. And then the first trumpet player, female trumpet player I saw live was Ingrid Jensen, when I think I was 19 years old, already in university studying jazz. And of course, that was super inspiring because she just has the most incredible facility on the instrument. And stylistically, it was beyond anything that I had really heard or been exposed to until that point.
I'm familiar with Gunhild Karling. She's so cool. I saw her play at Birdland, actually. Three trumpets.
Oh, she did the live thing? Yeah. I mean, yeah, she's been playing trombone professionally since she was 9 years old. She grew up in a musical family. Not what everybody has, but mainly it was the tone that she had, and she sounded more like Louis Armstrong than anybody I had heard until that point, and it was just made a huge impression on me.
Fascinating hearing how musicians that have worked so hard to develop their craft began. I had the pleasure of talking to another talented musician, Kaylee O'Doherty. Kaylee is an outstanding pianist, composer, arranger, and educator based in New York City. She's also traveled all around the world and the country performing this great music, and she's been recognized for her compositions and talent by Downbeat Magazine, the ASCAP Foundation, and countless others. I actually just met her this year, and I can say she's been super influential to my growth as a musician already. I asked Kaylee about her influences and how she began.
When I was 10 years old, I got 10, 11, 5th grade, 6th grade, I got introduced to jazz music when I transferred to an arts high school. It was a magnet school that was 6th through 12th grade. And the piano teacher at that school was this gospel pianist named Janice Scroggins. I'm from Portland, Oregon. So she was the first woman in jazz that I was ever kind of influenced by. And when I was young, she would have me come to her church with her and bring my keyboard, and I would set up next to her, and she would just tell me to use my ear and pick up whatever she was playing. I thought she was such a unique educator in the way that she was just kind of giving experiences as opposed to a lot of technical skills. She just said, use your ears and, you know, pick it up, and if you have questions, let me know. And that was way different than anyone I had ever studied with. So she was the first woman in jazz.
Other than studying with Janice Scroggins, what's your experience with gospel music? Did you grow up listening to it or playing it? How did it influence you?
She was the first person that ever introduced me to gospel music, but I love gospel music now. It's a huge influence in my playing and also just one of my favorite things to listen to. I love organ and piano and keyboards and all the synthesizer and sounds that they've come up with. All the harmony and reharmonization in gospel music I think is fascinating. And hymns, all of the harmony, the four-part harmony, choral music, I just think it's the foundation of this music, and I love listening to it. But she was the first person that got me introduced to it. And then when I went to college at Berkeley, there was a lot of gospel musicians at Berkeley. And so I would check out music that my friends were showing me. One of the musicians that influenced me greatly when I was in college and still is this great pianist from Connecticut. His name is Doobie Powell. He's also a great producer, composer, arranger, vocalist, and I've gone to meet him a few times, and yeah, he's a huge inspiration. So,
if there's anything that Bria Skonberg and Kaylee O'Doherty have in common, it's that they both play with so much soul and feeling and authenticity. I was able to ask them both where they pull that sound from, and also their process to writing.
The quickest way to connect your creativity to your instrument is just to sing, play, emote without judgment being the most important part of it, and kind of see what comes out. And it doesn't need to be pretty. It certainly should not be perfect, because we're not perfect. And so I think that process of being able to clear space and create either on an instrument or just even just by singing, making sounds is the truest form of getting to the what's in your gut, what's in your heart, what's in your gut, what's in your soul, you know, for a minute. Raw materials. I'm all big on like raw materials and then refinement of what I've learned.
Incredibly fascinating and inspiring hearing the way different people think and their processes to writing and creating. I asked Kaylee a similar question on her writing process, and she was able to share a powerful story and perspective.
My process to writing kind of varies. I'm looking for inspiration in all things, and it's changing all the time. Like, most recently, some of the stuff that I've written has been, one of the things I wrote was something that my dad had written. He plays guitar, not professionally, but a huge music lover and has always played. He wrote a song for my mom like 25 years ago, and we were cleaning out something when I was visiting and found this lead sheet that he had written. And he didn't really know how to notate music because he taught himself. So some of the notes weren't right and he wasn't sure what the chord symbols were and stuff. So we were kind of going through it together and he was like, I think this was what I meant, you know, from 30 years ago. And I was like, this is cool. Like, I wouldn't write something like this. And I love it. It would have this really interesting shape, you know, like a half step cluster at the top. And then this big interval is like a fifth or a sixth on the bottom. And I was like, wow, I've never thought about writing something with this shape. And I ended up writing this whole piece that was inspired by something he had written. And just taking maybe that one shape and then the little melody he had and re-envisioning it in this totally different way. So that's one way. In the past, I've used language a lot as a tool for composition. For instance, I went to Africa on a U.S. State Department tour 10 years ago, and we went to the Tree of No Return, which is the Gate of No Return. There's a Tree of Return there, and it was one of the five slave ports in Ouidah, Benin, and we took a tour of the town, and they told us the history of when the African people were being brought onto the ships, like this is where they traveled through, and when people didn't make it, they buried them in the ground in this certain spot, and I had recorded it on my phone, a voice memo of them talking on the tour, and when I came back, I wrote a song using kind of the phrasing, maybe just like a little bit of the phrasing of the way that they spoke, and that inspired the melody. So you can literally take something, or you can take a feeling and try and recreate a feeling. I've also done that. If, you know, someone says, like for a film score, for instance, I wrote music to this film score called Alma 2020, and I wrote this song called The Last Trip to the Moon, which I recorded on my last album. And on that, when I was writing the music to the film, I was watching it and I was trying to portray what I thought was happening in the film. It was this film about a little girl she was walking around with like a space suit on, and she had this little robot following her, and the robot was like, everything's so dangerous. Don't eat that. Don't touch that. Don't look at that. And I was trying to, she's walking through the desert, and I was trying to kind of narrate that, you know, what that was like for her. So being able to translate a feeling that you are getting from something visual into what you think that would sound like. How can you portray an emotion in instrumental music? I think that is one of the most beautiful things of all time, is without lyrics, trying to portray a story. And I think it's totally possible. People do it all the time. But it's really a masterful thing. You know, we talk about lyrics a lot, and I think, don't get me wrong, I think lyrics are incredible, and I would love to be better at writing them, something I want to work on. But I think there's a power as instrumental musicians that don't sing to writing music that tells a story without lyrics. And so I think that has influenced a lot of my music, because I haven't really written original music with lyrics. I've written arrangements of other people's music that had lyrics, but I've always tried to tell a story with instrumental music.
I was curious to hear what each of their thoughts were on what they think the biggest challenge facing the world of jazz at this time is.
Something I notice right now is just such a trend for people to find their own voices within the style. And I understand that's super important. But I also think that there should come a real time of studying what has already happened, you know, with just as much weight, if not more, than worrying to find your own voice. I think there's a lot of attention on the individual right now. Obviously, we want to share things online. We want to do this online. And I'm not talking about just, you know, transcribing stuff, but just really listening and studying what came before to know how you can expand on that, or again, honor, I guess, what has already happened. So that's one thing. I think it's a balance of like, one, we need to absolutely nurture new voices in the music and push it forward, but also make sure that those people are doing their homework, kind of what came before. Do we have that balance to keep the foundation in the music, to keep that the essence of that, depth and soul?
Kaylee had a similar response.
Well, one of the first things that comes to mind for the biggest challenge is, now that jazz music has become kind of a world music, you know, people play it all over the world, I feel that sometimes it's losing the history that's tied to it and its roots. And when people are teaching about this music and learning about this music around the world, sometimes it's left out about how it was created and who created it and that foundation. And I guess we could call that cultural appropriation, but you know, like not giving credit and not really doing justice to learn about the history. And for me, that worries me. That worries me a lot, because I think that American culture has been built off of Black American culture. Like, American culture is really Black American culture, like the fashion, the food, music, dance. Everything has come from Black culture, and it has become the cool thing, you know, for people around the world and also for other people that aren't Black in the United States to benefit from that culture, while there's this whole group of Black Americans that are, you know, not having the same experience at all and not getting the credit for the things that their ancestors had to go through to create this culture that people are benefiting from around the world. And there are a million examples of this.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think tying that into jazz, I think a lot of, even like reading from the lead sheet, just if that continues, and actually Bria mentioned this yesterday, like if my generation is reading from the lead sheet and then my generation teaches the next generation to read from the lead sheet and that's the normal thing, then learning from the record isn't the thing anymore, and then it just loses touch with where it came from and the importance of that.
Yeah, and I also think, to add to that, and we were talking about that in Ensemble the other day, I think the other thing is I think with the next generation, and you can tell me because you know more than I do, but there's this more instant gratification thing that my generation was starting to get to, but not as much as your generation. And that also scares me, because to be good at anything, not just music, it takes a lot of hard work. And I feel like sometimes we're trying to sugarcoat things now, where it's like, oh, just do this thing, it'll be so easy, just do this thing and you'll be fine. But it's like, yeah, kind of, plus hours and hours and hours of just genuine hard work. That's why I like to glamify more putting in the hard work as like you're investing into yourself, like you're investing into this friend that's never going to let you down, because ultimately you have to invest the time. Like, everybody that is great at anything continues to invest the time, and they continue to grow and continue to learn, and there's really no instant way to get around it. Like, you just have to do that.
Absolutely. It's very clear that both Kaylee and Bria have put in some serious work to get where they are today. It's really inspiring, and honestly, it gives me hope that with a lot of hard work, I can get to where they are too someday. These two have some really exciting new music and projects coming up. Bria plans to release an album in the next year or so. She's hosting a female non-binary workshop with the International Trumpet Guild, and she's hosting the New York Hot Jazz Camp for adults. Kaylee also plans to release new music. She's releasing a live album this year, as well as another album worth of new music to come. So, some very exciting stuff coming up. As I've been working on this podcast over the last couple weeks, my perspective has begun to shift. I've thought a lot about women in jazz, and I've realized that the next step to gender equality in the world of jazz might be recognizing these talented women as jazz musicians that just so happen to be women, instead of confining them to the limits that the term women in jazz might hold. We've heard these women play, and I can confidently say they're much more than simply women in jazz. They're true jazz musicians and talented people who are not confined by their gender. Well, this has been amazing. You heard from trumpet player Bria Skonberg and pianist Kaylee O'Doherty. They've both been such great role models and inspirations to me, and I'm so thankful I could have them on the show. I'm going to close out with some of what you heard at the beginning. It's a recording of Stella by Starlight. I recorded it right from my bedroom. Thanks for listening. My name is Violet Mujica, and this is Women of the World.